Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. I'm hoping everybody having a glorious, glorious day. It's beautiful on the West Coast. We're having unusually mild weather, and hopefully it keeps that. Sorry for the folks in the Midwest and the East getting some of that hot and gloomy weather. And those people who are right now in Minnesota suffering from the floods, hope you guys endure that. I know how that stuff is. I have a very, very special guest. Of course, by the way, happy solstice, everybody. Want to get into some issues before I introduce my special guest. God, this is weird with Skype people sending me messages and I can't even keep up right now. Trying to block them to the show. I apologize for that. I had to delete some of them. Anyway, I have a very, very special guest. Carrie Fez has been on my show every other quarter during whether it's solstice and whatnot, and explaining the cosmos. And if you've had or heard my past shows with her, she's indeed come up with her analysis and indeed have shown striking truth with when it comes to astrology and what was coming out and the predictions. And it's sort of funny reading her analysis for this month. And I'm retrospecting some of the things that she said in past shows. They've been basically, as they say in Australia, dead on. She's also in a past show, if those haven't, and you can always check it way back, almost 4 years ago, I guess. She did a show prior to the elections and predetermined who was going to be the successful candidate, namely Barack Obama. And she also predicted even Edwards having an affair prior to anybody even knowing what was going on. So I feel quite an honor to have an esteemed astrologist and intuitive, Carrie Fezza. How are you doing, Carrie?
Having me on your show.
You're welcome. So I got, before we get into the particulars, could you just give a little bit so people who haven't heard you in a couple months, and I know we're going to reiterate that at the bottom of the show, if you can explain who you are and where's your background from in your astrology and intuitive background.
Sure. I started studying astrology almost 20 years ago in New Jersey. I just took it upon myself when I was having my Saturn return to get serious about this instead of just reading up on it. And one of the main groups I hooked up with was the Astrological Society of Princeton, and I sat on their board of directors for 6 years till I moved out here to, I live in Las Vegas now, and I haven't been too active in the community out here. I've just been in practice for myself, kind of going the business route, but learning a lot in the process. My website is zodiacbuzz.com, and you can get a more detailed synopsis on me. I have lots of testimonials from customers over the years. They're real. They're not fake. You can tell just by reading them. And also prices for my readings and how to get in contact with me. The best way is to email me at leorising67@yahoo.com. I also have a toll-free number, 866-395-1340. And that is how what I do is I do intuitive tarot and astrology readings, relationship charts, pet charts, you name it.
Well, thank you.
If you want to broaden your horizons.
Yeah, definitely give her a call. Now you sent me and by the way, you'll be seeing this on her site, if not now or sooner, I guess your report on the solstice analysis. But it's sort of very detailed, and it gets into a deep explanation. And when people look at astrology, it's sort of like a weather report of the coming events. So can you, explain away the next 3 months?
Yeah, my forecast, I just do a mundane forecast, kind of looking at things politically, how it can affect all of us, the solstice report. And for those of you in the know with astrology, I put the sun on the ascendant and do 30-degree house cusps from there forward. So we're always dealing with the cardinal signs when we're dealing with the equinoxes and solstices. Those are very strong signs, and they are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. The summer solstice brings us to the sign of Cancer, which is also the ruling sign of our country, because our birth date falls on July 4th. That makes us a Cancer nation. So it comes into a very patriotic time, because we are celebrating the 4th. And sign of Cancer represents home and country, you know, family. And in that case, it can also cover real estate. And it can cover the military, anything related to our country, homes, and family. So it's a very patriotic time. And the moon, as it happens on this solstice report, also happens to fall in Cancer. It just precedes the new moon, which actually is in Gemini. But new moons mark new beginnings. So it's a new beginning for us as a nation, new beginning for families, new beginnings maybe in real estate, the military. That looks really positive because we come together in spirit. What opposes this is really powerful traditionalists or conservatives that really want their agenda noticed over maybe the greater good of the country. And opposing each side as a third challenger is a unique faction, group, bunch of individuals that would have what some might perceive as a radical game plan. This would be either a political party, a group, however you want to term it, that would really shake things up on both sides, shake up, you know, the people that are, you know, all American, God bless America, the, you know, the elitists, the traditionalists, the conservatives. And then this other group comes in as a powerful force that really mixes things up and proposes new ideas, new thought processes. And I think that'll be interesting to watch and see something like that emerge. That energy's kind of been in effect for the last couple of years with Uranus and Aries, but it's in a direct square to Pluto. So the one that's going to shake up most is the traditionalists, the conservatives that don't want anything changed.
Yeah, so because you were saying that was going to, in the past shows that you've said that was going sort of one time period, it was sort of going back to the more, more, let's say, liberal approach, and then the conservatives' backlash, and it was sort of interesting because that's sort of like in Congress, the conservatives took back, or the Republicans took back the Congress, and then there's a wave of that. Now it's basically like a roar run going back the other way, that being challenged again. But you said ultimately that, and it seems like that's what's happening now, is now it's not longer the conservative or what we think of what we love, Democrat or liberal side, if you want to call it that. You're saying almost like a third, probably, alternative.
The independent. Uranus, you know, a keyword for Uranus is independent. So in the solstice charts, it sits at the very top of the chart, which is the most public place. And it's in the sign of Aries, which is very pioneering, very action-oriented. So this would be your independence, your people that, you know, oppose the traditional values that the country was founded on, but also oppose corporations, like, you know, corporate America, big business. It's just a radical new thing. And because it falls so prominently in this chart, they'll have more of a voice. But the conservatives are also going to come on very strong and powerful. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics at work here. All three sides are represented fairly clearly, but it's a good time for someone to emerge in the Independent Party, because from what I can tell, and I even sat in on a focus group, nobody likes either candidate. Nobody's for Romney, and everybody's pretty disillusioned with Obama. So it'd be a really great time for a strong independent to emerge.
Yeah, that's funny you said that, because everything is always, whether it's always the left-wing agenda or right-wing agenda, and nobody ever forgets the big, giant independence. And the independent votes is what swings things. And you're right. I know so many people who are so disillusioned, me included, you know, that, you know, all these promises, you get tired of it. It's the same old, same old. And then it doesn't matter because either party that gets in, they make their own things and they all, it's like, what do you vote for? The lesser of two evils are still evil. So, you're definitely right. This is an optimal time for, a third party candidate or a third party or a third, like, something's got to change because it's the status quo is getting, it's absurd already. You know, it's like the stuckness. And I think people are getting frustrated with that. So I don't know how far they're going to put up with it, but, you know, it seems so far they put up with it. So, so that's what you're saying. That's what the breakdown with but you say there's going to be a backlash with the, conservative ideals, that the conservatives are going to be more or less challenging?
Yes, because Pluto is in Capricorn. Pluto rules power and control, and it moved into the sign of Capricorn in November of 2008, right when the last election was. Capricorn rules big business, corporate America, traditionalism, conservatism. That Pluto annihilates things and rebuilds out of the ashes. So when Pluto moved into Capricorn, you saw immediately the downfall of corporate America. I saw it coming. I didn't realize it was going to happen so fast. So a lot of the issues with the economy, you can't really blame on Barack Obama. To me, that was inevitable with the planets. However, all these bailouts and him trying to salvage things and putting us deeper in debt is, I feel, his responsibility. Capricorn lies opposite the sign of Cancer, which represents the solstice. So now having the sun and the moon and also Mercury in Cancer really represents a strong time of a return to traditional values, really looking upon ourselves as a country. Of course, the election advertising, mudslinging is coming on TV now in full force, but it's really a strong time for our country. But with Pluto opposing it in Capricorn, it's also a very strong time for the conservatives and the traditionalists. And then Uranus, up there in the 10th house in Aries, makes a perfect T-square to both Pluto and the Sun-Moon midpoint, which is the independent faction challenging all of it. But each group has something going for it. There's the independent, the conservative, and the all-American side has it's called a sextile to another planet in the chart that kind of diffuses or softens any negative energy brought onto them. So in any chart, you always have good and bad.
So let me ask you this. So if you look at, like, based upon looking at this, do you think there is actually a real chance for a third-party emergence?
Absolutely. Now, again, the energy is going to shift in September when we go to the autumnal equinox.
So there, it just may be like short sale. It all
well,
like,
you might see someone emerge, and what happens with it and where it goes is what we would look at in the autumnal equinox chart.
Because it almost seems like a Ross Perot effect. Like Ross Perot was an independent, rose up, and then suddenly pulled himself out of the middle. Let me, because it's interesting, by the way, you brought up about the big challenge of the conservatism, especially in the States, because right now they've been really much seriously targeting, like, Planned Parenthood and women's rights and women's issues, and very much like bolstering things, even to a point of making things bigger than they are. But then making issues about immigration and things like that, and challenging issues, and then of course Romney's trying to back off. But it seems like there's more challenges. I feel the biggest thing that was pointed out in your thing, I think I looked in earlier, issues dealing with women topic, because you said something about the moon and Cancer. I know we're going back up your analysis. But that seems like the biggest thing that actually kind of come out in elections is going to be the women topics or women issues. Or it seems like that's what's going to happen in the next 3 months.
Yeah, we're very strong in this chart because the moon is also in Cancer, like the sun. So it falls in the sign of the solstice. And it's kind of in a remote square to Saturn. Saturn oppresses things. It delays things. Right now it's retrograde. It's moving backward, but it will turn forward next week and go in direct motion. So because the moon is in such a prominent part of the chart, you can see women's issues emerge. But there is going to be some sort of, I don't know really how to put it into words, but you have those aspects working against it, delays, restrictions, partnership issues, stuff like that. And their voice is going to be quelled during this time. And the most prominent thing, like you said, that stuck out to me was that when Mitt Romney said in his own words he's going to abolish Planned Parenthood. You know, there's definitely going to be an outcry against that. I know a lot of women who use that.
Yeah, and I think this is the biggest problem, I think. And then the other issue is, of course, about marriage and stuff, but I think it's poignant that they're using like abortion and attacking Planned Parenthood, and a lot of people don't even know that it's not even like 1% of what the Planned Parenthood does for a woman, and a lot of tests for women's health issues and concerning, like, I know.
Yeah, exactly. And watch the teen pregnancy skyrocket without Planned Parenthood. You know, this is what concerns me about both candidates, is that both of them have more unconventional religions, you know, and each to their own, but don't bring it into your politics. Mormons tend to have a lot of children, and that's fine. But it's not for everybody to embrace the Mormon religion, or conversely, the Muslim religion. And we've seen Barack Obama bring in his Muslim religion into the politics.
Yeah. Well, anyway, one other aspect I think that's the biggest thing and that you brought up is on the bottom where you talk about for people to demand more action instead of hollow words. And then we have Barack Obama, who's a great speech talker and promises this and a promise to the moon. Of course, he never got his public option. Fact is, he's actually, I personally think, one of the worst leaders when you're president. You go down to Congress and you espouse things, you move things, you just let them put the things together. And he should have presented the public option straight up into Congress. And he had two years solid of a strong Democratic majority, not just a minority, but a filibuster-proof majority that he can pushed it away or even done different things to create a real healthcare system. They have a fabricated, or it's going to fall on deaf ears with the present Obamacare, which they knew damn well that it was not constitutional. So that's going to go gone, and then basically here he comes again with another speech, and then you have the other side, Romney, who pretends I swear to God, I literally think he sits there and watches every day Reagan films, and he tries to pretend he's Ronald Reagan, giving these Ronald Reagan-type speeches, and then he tells everybody what they want to hear. I mean, if you tell him I want the moon, he'll tell you, okay, you'll get the moon. If you tell him I want he's like a typical salesman. So,
well, I kind of think he looks like John Kerry did in the 2004 election against President Bush. We were kind of in the same spot. Everybody hated President Bush. They knew he wasn't a good leader. But all that John Kerry came out and said was, Bush is bad. He's bad. Vote for me. He never said what he could do. It's just Bush is bad. And that's what I get from Romney, is that Barack Obama's bad. He didn't fulfill his promises. He didn't live up to what he said he was going to do, vote for me, but he never really says what he can do.
Yeah, and it's funny you said that, because then Kerry was also wishy-washy, too.
And they both, they're attractive, they've got blow-dried hair, you know what I mean? It's just all about the look and the presentation, but there's not a lot of substance behind it. Like, what are they going to do that Barack Obama didn't do? We get that we're disillusioned. We know what he didn't do. We don't need you to rub it in our face. And that's what his campaign is gearing up for. Barack Obama's bad. I'm good. Vote for me. And that's why people aren't interested in him either, because what are you going to offer us? You know, that's why it's a really good time for a strong independent to emerge. And in this chart, the planet Mars that rules action and stepping out and speaking, which is actually the ruler of Aries where Uranus resides, is in a really nice aspect, we call a sextile, to all the Cancer planets, which is what the solstice is about. So, and it falls in the third house of communication in the media. So you might see social networking play a big role the next 3 months in shaping part of this election.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. You brought in us in the bottom here, and this one, I was sort of wanted to know, getting into the Mars stirs things about the communication factor. What was that about? That was us, because that seems another thing that's going to become a poignant event that you're talking about. You said softening some of the intention of this attention is the Cancer, whatever, stellium, or how, stellium sextile to Mars, the action planet. Mars loves to stir things up, falling in the third house of communication. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, it's kind of what I just said. It's the third house is communication, media, social networking. So, you know, all people have to do, get out there is, you know, somebody can make up their own YouTube video and come across really good and it can go viral. People can speak out on their Facebook pages. If the candidates put themselves on Facebook, I'm not sure if they're, I think they're on there already, right? Like, you can see social networking, social media, whatever you want to call it, play a large role this quarter. You know, all it takes is for somebody to get on there and get noticed, and they can make a big impact in at least stirring the public's imagination and getting the country interested in them.
Let me ask you this. What if... Because there's another thing I want to get into that was pretty interesting, and I was getting into it later with you, that sort of blew me away, was when you were talking something about the sextiles and Neptune, ruler of gas and oil. Can you elaborate on that? Because there's some major events that have been coming out in the last 2-3 months regarding, especially in the United States, also in Israel, France, most of the, actually, if you want to call it the free world, of having to do with gas, like the findings of natural gas and the ability to produce our own energy needs, which is really strange because I think about a year ago you said that we are going to look into ourselves to find our own way out of the mess. And actually, ironically, the findings and they're now developing what they call cracking. I know people question that, but it's not as bad as they think it is. That we literally, in the United States itself, are sitting on the amount of natural gas is over like 200 some odd years. We're like almost like the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. And literally, like we could literally switch our cars to natural gas and that would be it. I mean, within the next 10 years, 15 years, it's done. What was this thing that you were talking about in here with, I was reading, sextiles, Neptune, came tongue tied lately. Neptune, ruler of gas and oil.
Neptune is the planet that rules gas and oil among many other things. And it sits up in the house of foreign countries, foreign affairs. So when you start talking about France and Israel and countries abroad, that's what shows up in the chart here, and it looks like the ones that have the most control or the most influence over it, because it sextiles Pluto and Capricorn, is the traditionalists, the conservatives. They have the power. So if it's someone outside of our country, outside of ourselves, a powerful enemy, they could withhold resources or use resources against us to get what they want on their agenda. That can actually work within the country or without the country. But they have the majority of control over it.
So they have the majority. Oh, well, could that be a for right now, and there's a change, a switch, or is it just we're only talking 3 months now? So
we're only talking 3 months. I haven't looked at that. I don't look too far ahead. I just go for what happens now, because
sense.
If you get too far ahead, you forget where you're at. Kind of,
yeah.
I'm a big one for living for the now.
Yeah, yeah, but you're talking right, because 3 months right now we're in a precarium, because right now with the Iranian thing in the Middle East, and they can do a big old number with oil, and there's possibly upright a war starting up in Lebanon, which then will go into the rest of the Middle East. So, especially with between Iraq and Iran and Syria, even Jordan, and then. So definitely going to affect our oil situation if that thing erupts in the next 3 months. What you're feeling with that, is that found in the next 3 months issues over the Middle East with a war in your astrology analysis?
I don't know too much about the war. The only thing that jumps out to me is gas or oil. Neptune is also a healing planet, and it lies very close to the asteroid Chiron, which is a healer also. So there's a strong tendency towards foreign aid, and it falls in a hard aspect to a group of planets, what we call a stellium, that falls in the 12th house of secrets. So we could secretly be giving aid to foreign countries and doing things, but that will come back to haunt us. That is likely to be revealed next November when we have the next set of eclipses. But there's going to be some real covert stuff going on, but it's not to our advantage, where gas and oil are involved and foreign aid. Remember how Ronald Reagan sold arms to Iraq and then it got exposed?
It was with, yeah, now you're thinking of the Contra with Iran to get the hostages.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was the Contra deal. And the arms went to the Contras through the Iranians and all that stuff, and then what's his name, North, took the fall for it. Oliver North. Yeah, I remember that. That guy was actually got a hand in him. He played the true soldier, took the sword for Reagan.
And you know who's most likely to expose his secrets or whatever? Around the end of June, which would be next week, beginning of July, which is literally like a week away. The planet Jupiter, which is generally luck and abundance, it expands whatever it touches. So people like it when it's in their money sector because it expands their finances. It's coming into collision with the South Node, which is a point in the chart that rules our karma. So when Jupiter hits the South Node in a week or so, it's going to be a huge karmic undoing perpetuated. And the faction are most likely to expose that is that non-traditional group, the independents. But you probably won't see it exposed until November.
So, also, you're saying that the thing that you're talking about won't be exposed till November, but it's something
that's going to happen. There's probably something going down next week that we won't hear about till later on in the year.
Wow. Huh. Is it foreign-related or domestic-related?
Either or. It has strong ties to the foreign oil, gas, and even aid or healing, medical supplies, anything to do with healing.
Wow. Wow. That's definitely.
And it can even be related to our health care system, our jobs and our health care. So it could even be outsourcing.
Wow. Maybe they got kickbacks from the health insurance companies. We find out about it. Yeah, right.
And overseas pharmacies, pharmaceuticals,
yeah.
Aid. We don't know what's going to happen, but the potential is there for some really big gaffe behind the scenes. But it's secretive. It's in the 12th house, so it's hidden.
This is the thing I had. The other question that I had, let's see how I was going to put it. You said the empathetic sign of Pisces, we might see some sort of compassion gesture from another nation, powerful enemy without withhold resources until we see things their way. What do you mean by that?
Well, if there's people that control the gas or the oil in other countries, they can, you know, put an embargo on it or whatever. So we can't have it until we adhere to their agenda. the people that control the gas and the oil on foreign soil can manipulate us with that.
Well, that sounds like the Saudis anyway. They've been doing that anyway for some 30 years. I wonder if that's maybe swaying us into get involved with... See, people don't realize it's not the Israelis who are more threatened by the Iranians. It's actually the Saudis. Anyway, well, I guess that's a wait-and-see thing, right? Other thing I wanted to ask you is, and this is probably a heavy explanation, I guess, because you wrote in here, Jupiter generated associated with luck and abundance moves into Gemini on June 11th, lies at the 2 degrees, danger is close to the south node of karma at 4 degrees. God, I feel like you could be a chemist. Jupiter's one of those professors writing on the board. And then Jupiter tends to expand whether it touches, so when it hits the crucial point, could you explain what the what all this means? Because to me it's like, oh my God, I was reading this, like, wow.
I just said it before. The south node is karma. So when Jupiter hits the south node of karma next week, the beginning of June and July, there's going to be some major gaffe behind the scenes, but we won't hear about it till the end of the year. I just went over all that.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Because I was getting,
like a pace behind, because every time I say something, you get into it right after I say it.
Okay. And then you were talking about her, the square of Neptune, with the compare the planet of love and money to purchase shady deals. That's you, I already went to, that we're going to find out something shady that's been going on, which you elaborated on. And then the outlet of deception, which again you were talking about, is that basically the same? You're same on the reiterating that it's pretty much we're going to you're saying the healthcare or something we're just talking about. Wow. This is like really quick. You put everything in a condensed form. This 3 months is going to be really condensed information. But I guess it is what it is. What if you were looking into seeing from the overall perspective, since we have, like, what would you, you know, what would be, if you're as an astrologist looking at this chart and somebody looks at living in the United States, because this is here to mainly the United States, what would your advice be?
Well, it's just to stay true to yourself and your own values. Like, it's important for us as a collective to remember the principles that this country was founded on. You know, and we've gotten away from that a lot, especially in the religious sense, but now there's so many religions, the Christian religion isn't the predominant one anymore, or so it seems. But beyond that, stay true to ourselves and our values, and know that you have a voice. That's what Mars represents in this chart, is, you know, being able to speak out, being able to make a YouTube video, and being able to, you know, with the advent of the internet, anybody can have a voice. If someone comes out really strong and says what people want to hear, even if they're a nobody, but they say it right, they can become popular. Not that they would overturn or overthrow any of the candidates, but we as a people have a voice at this time. You know, to really, you know, most people just talk behind the scenes, they gripe, but now's the time to put it out there. Put it on your Facebook page. Put it on your blog.
Yeah,
you know, whatever you feel, good or bad.
Yeah, you can't complain if you're not looking into it. I personally think
you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Exactly. And I think a lot of it is lack of education, too. People need to look at what's really causing a lot of the issues. Like, people need to educate themselves seriously about how our monetary system works, which is the Federal Reserve at its core, and how that works. And if you don't understand that, if you don't know the Federal Reserve and how our banking system is underlying, then you have nothing to talk about as far as or complain about. People need to actually. There's a famous book. It's called The Creature on Jekyll Island. I highly recommend it. And it actually tells how it was created and why it was created. It's factually correct in all its parts. but you need to, people need to really educate themselves, and then they can see why we are financially. Why, you know, if you're playing a game of Monopoly, then you have to know what the rules and games are, and then you're going to see how a lot of things are really a facade. And I think that's really comes to stem for the core issues of what our problem with taking ownership of ourselves. And when you're talking traditional values of the United States, this is another facade that I think people are going to start coming relation, because this country is not based upon Christianity, never was. Actually, it's based upon, I hate to tell you, on Freemasons, and Freemason theology is correct about brotherhood. It doesn't matter what you believe in. We all believe you're the creator or whatever, but it's getting down to freedom and enlightenment and getting to the core of issues. You know, and that's where what you're talking about, people need to get back to, that's real traditionalism. It's not to impose things. You know, it's an irony, like I see, like even Republicans today are opposing, they talk about being independent of the government, yet but they're having the government impose on women's right to choose. So, you know, it's the irony of things. People say certain things in policies, but they're not in reality what they are. And we need to get back to what the realities of what this foundation, what this country was founded upon. If we got back to the foundation, what we were, we are, people would realize, you know, that we, the system is good. You know, people complain even about the Senate filibusters and the, how the government works and stalls, but there's, it works. We literally, and not the people outside the United States, but the United States has the best form of government. We don't have 51% and then screw the minority. We still have, allow the opposition to keep things check and balances. And we do have our Bill of Rights, which nobody else does. We have the rights to speak up, and we're supposed to, we should enforce them, the right to assemble and all these issues. And the right to bear arms is not just so we can go hunting, by the way. You know, people don't understand that. You know, I get angry when I hear people talking about, and that's what, basically people need to get back to what you're talking about, get to the traditionals of what this country is about. And if they did, we'd be in a different situation altogether. And everything's predicated by choice, you know, and, you know, and anyway, I just, interesting that we, a lot of the stuff that you had said here, it's like really fast and condensed, but it's like straight to the point. I don't know how else to go into this. It's just, you know, let me ask you this though, because it seems, because this is an astrological question. A lot of people have asked me here, it seems like we've gone from a Mars retrograde into a Venus retrograde, and aren't we about to go into a Mercury retrograde? And so I had one client of mine and go, how come we got so many retrogrades in one situation? Or is this common? Like, there seems like every other month we're in another retrograde of something.
Well, we as astrologers, we look at the planets as they rotate around the Earth, not the Sun, because we believe that each planet holds a certain energy. Like Venus would be love and money, Mars would be action, desire, etc. So we look at the energy as it would affect us, and because we live on Earth, we look at the planets as they rotate around Earth. Because of the rotation of Earth and the rotation of the planets, every once in a while it appears that the planet is going backwards around the Earth, and that's what we call a retrograde. Venus typically, the Sun and the Moon can't retrograde because they're actually fixed stars. They're not planets. The outer planets, which are the farthest away from Earth, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, are very often retrograde, and they stay retrograde for a long time. It's just the distance they are and their motion compared to ours. So I don't pay too much attention to those. It's when the personal planets like Mercury, Venus, Mars, those go retrograde that they have a greater impact on us. And just lately, every once in a while, it happens where a lot of the planets are retrograde at the same time. It's a little unique, but it does happen. I believe it was back in January, around January 1st, when all the planets, this is how we began our new year, were in direct motion. I don't think there was any planet that was retrograde at the beginning of the year, which is highly, highly unusual in that sense. But Venus retrograde and Saturn retrograde are going to end next week. I believe Saturn ends its retrograde on Monday, and Venus ends its retrograde on Wednesday. Now, mind you, there's a little shadow period I include there, but not to confuse people. When it's safer to do things when you're out of the retrograde, it's even safer to do things when you're out of the shadow. Mercury goes retrograde, let's see here, I believe it's on the, I thought it was on the 11th. It's on the 14th. On July 14th, Mercury goes retrograde, but if you include the shadow, it starts Sunday. So we just get out of the Venus retrograde, and we go into the Mercury retrograde shadow. So I'm just telling all my clients to chill for the summer. Mercury retrograde is an excellent time to go back and reconnect with people, have family reunions, finish up old projects, get things done, so when all the planets move forward at the end of August, we're out of the shadows, you can begin anew. And then in the fall, we're going to go into Jupiter retrograde, which is, you know, another significant retrograde, but we'll cover that in the autumnal equinox.
Is this normal that we have all these retrogrades? Because I've never heard of that. I'm just naive or I don't know astrology, but because I had one client and we were talking and then we were looking and we were going, every other thing, there's a retrograde of something.
Yeah, well, the outer planets, like I said, are retrograde a lot. But actually, the first 2 weeks of July, all the personal planets will be in direct motion. Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, and Mercury. We're in the Mercury shadow, but all the important planets that have the most immediate effect on us are all going to be direct. So, and if you can time that with the waning and waxing cycles of the moon, it gives you a little window there. Retrogrades aren't good for initiating new things because the energy is moving backwards. You don't want to buy a house, get married, open a business, start something new when the energy is moving backwards, right? It's kind of common sense. Sometimes you can't always help it. You know, life happens. But if you can plan something like a wedding, something like that, you want to do it around the retrograde. Unless you're getting remarried, that could work, but generally speaking, you want to avoid initiating new things when the planets are retrograde, especially Venus retrograde. And I think I told you this. You don't want to start a new relationship when Venus is retrograde because Venus is the love planet. So it can start out with complications or down the road something will have to go back and be redone. So that was a good question. I hope I didn't make it too confusing.
No, and that ends this month, right? The end of this month. So, and then if somebody were to like meet somebody, but you don't start the relationship, nothing really starts in a real relationship until like in a week to 2 weeks from now.
That's fine. You're still in the shadow till the end of July, but you're out of the retrograde, so. You know, and usually most people don't dive right into relationships. They date. They feel each other out first, see if they're a good match. You know when people act really hastily, like meet each other and then run off and get married within 2 or 3 weeks. Those relationships don't tend to last anyway. And if you want, you can blame it on the retrograde, but it's probably a lot more to it than that.
Another thing, I know I'm shooting from the hip here, but you did say something, I remember one time in Alaska, slightly got into that certain, and I'm talking about sun signs, are more affected by certain retrogrades more than others. You weren't time to elaborate it about, like, for example, I think you said if you were born under Gemini or Mercury or something like that, maybe I'm confused, but I think, isn't there something to that? One's less affected than one more so?
Well, it stands to reason. If you're the ruling planet of your sun sign is retrograde, it's going to have more of a impact on you. It would mean more about going in internally and looking at yourself rather than reaching out. Venus retrograde right now rules the signs Taurus and Libra. So those signs have their ruling planet retrograde. Mercury rules Gemini and Virgo. So they're more affected by a Mercury retrograde because it's their ruling planet.
So it's not their sun sign, so if they're born during the retrograde, right? Is that what you're
saying? No, it's their sun sign. You were correct. Okay. If your sun sign is Taurus or Libra, you're going to be more impacted by the Venus retrograde. If your sun sign is Mercury or Virgo, you're going to be more impacted by the Mercury retrograde. Some people are born with these planets retrograde in their chart, so when the planet goes retrograde in the sky, it kind of cancels each other out. Saturn has been retrograde, I think, since February, and it's going to go direct this week. Saturn rules Capricorn. It also is the co-ruler of Aquarius. So those signs, Capricorn and Aquarius, have been more affected by the Saturn retrograde. Now, this can also apply to your ascendant. Your ascendant or your rising sign, what rules your chart. If that sign is ruled by a retrograde planet, you're going to feel it too, because the ruling planet of your chart is retrograde. So it's not to live in paranoia or discomfort. It's just to know what's coming and how to best utilize the energies. And that's when it pays to have a good astrologer who can help you through, you know, and kind of chart the waters for you.
Wink, wink.
Hello.
That's why I said wink, wink. So that's because I had one client, remember, she kept on going, so when can I do something? When can I do something? I can't get this. I can't get married. I can't meet. I can't do a contract. I can't do this. She was like freaking out. So what, I have 2 weeks a year? I might as well sit home for the 300 days.
Sometimes there's people, I have clients like that too, that just try too hard to make things happen. And I've been guilty of that myself. When you try too hard to make things happen, you're kind of working against yourself. It's good to have ambition. It's good to have motivation. It's good to have a game plan. But sometimes it's also better just to sit in silence and wait for things to come to you. And I know you and me are both impatient Aries, and I've told you before, don't do it during the Mercury retrograde. And you go, oh, yeah, but I have to. And then how did that work out for you?
Yeah. I don't know if you can tell me about that. Old Australia. Twice, God, I saw contract signed on retrograde, and then their for opening act was on retrograde, and it was a disaster. Oh. So, but, you know.
Well, there is merit to this. It's not like I make this up. This is stuff I've learned. I've practiced and applied it in my life. I know it works, for better or for worse, but I also put up an article on my website, zodiacbuzz.com, when the Mercury retrogrades, you can look at the positive things to do during that time period. There's a lot of things it would behoove you not to do, but there's lots of things you can do. And I try and focus and emphasize the positive sides of Mercury retrograde. So I'll probably have that up within a week or two.
Yeah, there was also a thing that my late teacher, Jenny St. Clair, had said. And she had said that Mercury retrograde, God, I have an echo there. So, Mercury retrograde is sort of like when you're working out spiritually, is like you put another little, and let's say you have 100 pounds and you're doing a bench press, and then they add two little new plates on there just to give you a little bit more. So you have to be like more focused on, especially Mercury retrograde, because people are not all that focused. They start losing their, so you have to be more focused, more grounded, more conscious of what you do. Like communications has to be more clear. Driving has to be more, watching when you're driving. Things have to be more focused, so it gives you that little bit more effect. And then when that thing comes off, you're a little bit that further on spiritually. And that's what she used to say, that all retro, well, she said Mercury retrograde was like adding another plate on your spiritual workout. So that's a way of looking. I mean, that's how I thought.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So that's where I always looked at it. But at the time, I only knew of Mercury retrograde. I wasn't aware of all the other ones. And then, you know, it does make sense because I have clients and I've seen what's really interesting is when you talk about we were going through Venus retrograde thing. And I'm telling you, I've never seen so many calls. Readings for breakups and people who just have been married for years or together out of nowhere. Or I had one client just freaked out that they're engaged, they're about to get married in 2 weeks and they're living together and the guy just totally walked out, left the house. And I kept on seeing them coming back and she didn't believe it, but it was like one after another. And then the issues, which is sort of strange during this time, you know, I personally feel, but I know a lot of clients of mine during this Venus retrograde, it has to do with financial situations. So you have to overly watch yourself for the unexpected situations. So you keep yourself more budgeted than normal, basically being really tightwad, I hate to say it. So, and then luckily for me, I did that because now, you know, here I only got a couple of weeks, so I'm able to facilitate myself. But I know people who didn't went out and went gung-ho and then they come to me, oh my God, I don't do, I got this payments and this and that, and I don't have my job all of a sudden, and or I didn't get the gig. And it's good warning. It's like, that's what I was saying in the beginning of the show, that people think astrology is like, given this circumstance, but it's always a weather report. It's like, I know it's going to rain tomorrow, or, you know, it's going to be a flash flood, or there's a hurricane coming on. There's a hurricane coming on, then that means, you know what, you got to board up your house and get ready for the hurricane. If there's a tornado coming on, then you get ready for it. Or if it's going to be hot and sunny, 110 degrees, you're not going to run outside with wearing like a winter jacket or like you're thinking you're going to go skiing or snowboarding. So it's sort of like I always look at it as like a weather report and a warning thing. But but anyway, I'm glad for the explanation. And I know because we finished on the beginning of your analysis on your solstice, and I'm glad you re-explained because you did an explanation on the retrograde, I think on one of my shows. But again, I'm glad you re-elaborated because I know a lot of people who and clients and people who will listen to this even down the line when they go back and re-listen to archives. It makes a clear understanding of that. But one thing I want to ask you, Carrie, if you can come on in next 3 months or so and do an analysis of our political situation so that people know how to vote. So
you're asking me? I can give you the astrological goods, but you'll have to do the interpretation.
Yeah, I know. But I was going to say if you could do analysis, like because we know who it's going to be, you know, Romney and Obama. And when you did analysis, by the way, you all have to go back. I think it was actually in
2007. I think it was actually 5 years ago. We did it a year early.
Yeah, well, you did it during the primaries, and it's when you had all the candidates, Hillary and Obama, and at the time you gave your analysis, and you said actually the two running candidates that were going to have potentiality of winning was Obama or Thompson, and Thompson dropped out, so who was left? And that you gave that, and you know, have no clue of being Canadian at the time before you got your citizenship, had no clue of anything of the political realm, which was actually really cool. It's perfect. And then it was amazing what you said about Edwards being dead on, and look what he did with, I mean, he got out of technicality, by the way, with his, you know, moving his monies and paying off people and all that stuff that happened, and what happened with his, you know, the swimming around and having a child and saying he didn't have a child out of wedlock or whatever.
I know, he was exposed during the eclipse cycle. Eclipses will expose things. We just had two this month. One was at the end of May and one was at the beginning of June. So do you know of any major events that were exposed on this cycle?
Yeah, we did have some exposures. Didn't we have one during the time when the thing happened in Penn State with what's-his-face?
That was last year. That was around the last eclipse cycles, around the end of November.
But this eclipse cycle, we didn't.
But this month, I'm trying to think if we had anything major being exposed. I know there's a lot of stuff going on over in Egypt, but I don't really keep up with that.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of anything exposed now. I don't think anything really major now. No Pleiners or anybody like that either. But it was funny when you did that, because there was like one after another after another. It was like, oh my God, all these exposures of different candidates. I guess it made CNN and Fox News and MSNBC all happy. But again, I want to ask you, because we're at the top of the hour, I want to reiterate, so for those out there, you definitely, definitely need to contact Carrie for both getting your astrology analysis done and even do a compatible chart if you're with your loved one or potential loved ones. Get a reading from her. She's highly intuitive, and she's excellent. And this is talking from me. I do readings. All readers get readings from other readers. And so, you know, I can definitely give you. I wouldn't have people I have on my show. I'm very selective, and I don't try. I bring people who I believe, you know, it's who they are for real, and she's definitely for real. So definitely give her a call or a holler and utilize her, especially her astrology analysis will just really guide you in the correct or give you the opportunity to guide yourselves. So again, Carrie, how can they you give your contact information so they can contact you?
Sure. The best way to contact me is through email, which is leorising67@yahoo.com, and just go to my website, zodiacbuzz.com, and everything you need is right there on the front page. It gives you the brief synopsis of the latest astro info. It has all my prices there for my readings, which are very reasonable, and it has all my contact information. So zodiacbuzz.com. If you go under AstroBuzz, there's my blog for the solstice in case you had trouble following along or you tuned in late. You can go and check that out. And again, the article on Mercury retrograde is down there too under AstroBuzz, but I'm going to update it with the current cycles in a week or two when we get into the next Mercury retrograde. So thank you for the compliments and for having me on your show. I love answering astrology questions. So anytime, if you even just want to have me on to talk astrology, and I'd love to look at the upcoming election, especially if there is a strong independent candidate or a faction or a party or group that emerges, that would be fun too.
Yeah, no hijacked one either. I don't, whether it's a Tea Party or the Occupy movement, look at the irony. They are both hijacked. Both, and actually, you know, it's irony. They are both independent things got hijacked. The Tea Party was actually truly independent, and then it got hijacked by the Christian right. And then the Occupy movement was a really independent thing, got hijacked by the left wing. So, unfortunately, hopefully, an independent will rise again. And all those people, everyone out there, need to, especially in the United States, stand up there for their voice for dealing with directly. And those around the world, by the way, this is not just the United States, but you need to. Maybe we're sort of like the paramount of it, but you, the people out there around the world, need to get real and face up to the realities and get to the basics of what real freedom and real democracy is. And not, it's like Benjamin Franklin said, and you need to understand there's actually the form of government is a republic, not a democracy that we need to have or you have. As they say, Benjamin Franklin once said that democracy is like two wolves and a lamb, and they're both, all three of them voting on what's for dinner. So that's not that's what you have in Egypt, okay? And that's what happens in the Middle East. And you can't just have a democracy. You have to have protection for the minority votes and tolerance. You have to have like what Thomas Jefferson, you have to be heading toward an enlightenment to get truly head toward democracy. And unfortunately, in the United States, we went away from that. We were doing that from the 60s and the 70s, and unfortunately, we went through whatever.
Hello?
you know, thank you all. And I want to definitely thank Carrie for coming on my show. And God bless you all. And have a glorious, glorious weekend. Until next week. Thanks. God bless you all.
Thank you, Andy.